Okay. Okay.
Invite you to join, stand and join the Pledge of Allegiance. Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Mr. McDavid?
Here.
Mr. Schmidt?
Here.
Mr. Thornhill?
Here.
Mr. Kespel?
Here.
Mr. Dudley?
Yes, here.
Ms. Anthony?
Here.
Ms. Hobby?
Here.
We have minutes from the regular council meeting of December 19, 2011. If there are no corrections, we may have a motion and a second for approval.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Are there any extractions or corrections to the agenda? If not, may I have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved.
Second.
Favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Welcome to the meeting. We have many opportunities for public comment during the meeting, certainly during the public hearings, during the old business, new business. We have an open comment section at the end of the meeting where anyone can speak on any topic for 3 minutes that they wish. We have a scheduled public comment process. If you contact the city manager's office by noon on Wednesday prior to the council meeting, you may speak on any topic that's not on the agenda. We'll yield 5 minutes to Mary Hussman.
Happy New Year to y'all. My name is Mary Hussman. I live at 5306 Rice Road, Columbia, Missouri, and I'm speaking on behalf of GROW Grassroots Organizing. I realize an issue related to mobile home parks is on your agenda tonight, but I'm going to address two other separate concerns that pertain to mobile home parks. So our two requests are, number one, requiring posting of signs that a park closing is imminent, and two, mandating the annual inspection of all city mobile home parks. Issue one. In the past, we've had reported to us that after an eviction notice has been served to residents, the park still has families move in. We also know that at least two past cases where unsuspecting families were sold homes within a park, only to find out after the deal that they would soon have to move out. So we request that the city mandate that if a park will be closing, the owner will not allow new residents to move in and will post signs at each entrance so that everyone is aware of the closure situation. They might move some residents in if there's a desperate situation, but at least everyone would be aware of that closure. Some people who don't live here would go and maybe not know this, so I don't think that's very much to ask. Issue two, mobile home parks provide affordable housing for families. Some parks have managers on the property, some do not. Some responsible owners use part of the park's income to improve the living conditions and obey the law by maintaining a safe and healthy environment. Some owners do not, and this lack of maintenance often occurs when an owner plans to close their business. Of course, we're aware that Columbia's health and safety standards apply to all the residents as well as the owners. Since some parks are hard to locate, health and safety violations that would be obvious to regulators and even the untrained eye of the public often will fester within a park. Without adequate oversight, conditions deteriorate. Resident families, due to the nature of their living situation, are in a subservient position to the owner. Many residents are reluctant to complain, even anonymously, because they fear that another resident or the owner will find out who the complainer is. For the protection of our people, we do not wait until one suffers food poisoning and then inspect the restaurant. We do not wait until one is trapped on an elevator and then inspect and certify the elevator. Such health and safety protection should naturally extend to all mobile home park residents. We find the current complaint-driven only system does not work well to keep parks in compliance. Therefore, we propose a second suggestion, that you still allow and respond to complaints, but also mandate that neighborhood service inspectors conduct at least once a year a surprise inspection for all mobile home parks in Columbia. This request has actually also been presented to our Boone County commissioners, and I've spoken to Stephanie Browning, and I also spoke to Lee Britt. I believe they all see merit in finding violations and enforcing compliance as they occur, rather than being shocked and overwhelmed with multiple violations after finally fed-up residents, organizations like GROW, or the press or other media expose them. So what is needed is continuation of responding to calls concerning suspected violations, but adding the mandate that every year each city mobile home park will have an unannounced inspection if needed and enforcement follow-up. Thank you for your consideration of these two requests.
Thank you, Ms. Sussman. We'll move to public hearings. Please read Bill 329-11.
Council Bill 329-11 is an ordinance authorizing the city manager to execute change order number one and change order number two to the contract with JC Industries Incorporated for the reconstruction of the sidewalk along the south side of Broadway from 8th Street to 9th Street, setting forth the nature and amount of change, accepting and approving the work, approving the report of the Director of Public Works, levying special assessments, and authorizing the issuance of special tax bills against the lots and parcels of ground specially benefited and abutting the improvements, appropriating funds, and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective.
Staff, I think this is self-explanatory, but there is an issue with one of the property owners.
That's right. At your last meeting, Mr. Fagan raised an issue about moisture in the basement that he believes is caused by this project. Staff has taken a look, engineering staff, and can't really confirm that. Basically, there's a disagreement about that. And so what I'd like to propose tonight is moving forward with this closeout of the project, but then follow up with Mr. Fagan, have him use the process that we have for this, which is the risk management process, and you know, fix the issue to his satisfaction, submit a claim to the risk manager, and then we can use the administrative process to cover what, you know, we would be involved in that work. And if we find that there is an issue caused by this project, of course, we would do the right thing and pay for that work, or some percentage of that if there's some unknowns down there, and there usually is. But we have a process, an administrative process that can be used for this. I'd recommend that.
So we can move on 329, and staff will keep Mr. Fagan's issue alive and report back to us.
And so change order number one and number two is what this says we're voting on, and closing out the project means that we are signing off on the work.
That's right. And you're saying this project is finished and we will now bill the portion of the cost that remains for the tax bills. We'll go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm recommending is that you also, I know Councilmember Kespel has talked about this as well, you know, make clear what I think I've heard from council from the last meeting to this one, is that we want to follow up with Mr. Fagan.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know, we can't see what's under there right now.
Yeah. You have to well, get up. I have a certain... by happenstance, I have a certain knowledge. I happen, since my office is nearby, I walked by when that was getting dug up, and I saw the open vaults that were filled with just debris, very, you know, old radiators and all kinds of stuff. And I happen to have seen the apartments along that wall, you know, so I've seen it from the inside before, during, and after construction, and I'm as satisfied as a layperson can be that Mr. Fagan has a point. So I just want to make sure that we're not closing this out. His claim is pretty clear on page 4 of the diagram in the council packet. the vault that he's claiming. The one vault was cleared out and filled in properly, and the I think that's the picture of exactly the location he's talking about. And your guys were out there, so you guys would know better than I do exactly what happened there. But you know, his claim is that one vault was emptied out and filled in properly, and the other vault wasn't. And I can see the water seepage, you know, the calcification and stuff that simply wasn't there when I saw the apartments beforehand. So I just want to make sure that he's not forgotten. And I don't know, I've seen a few of the emails. I gather there's been quite a bit of dialogue on this. So if that's what we're doing, then I'm happy with what you're suggesting.
I'd like to offer a solution, if I might. I went down there Friday and viewed the same things you viewed. And photo C shows the area in question, and there is a cavity behind that dirt there that was there when they took the sidewalk out. So it wasn't filled in properly when it was concreted, or it all sank because of water seepage or something. But anyway, I don't know whether it leaked before the sidewalk was put in or not, but I've talked with staff about this several times, and I think the solution might be a good solution to let him take his tax bill money, allow Mr. Fagan to fix the problem himself, take his $6,000 plus, around $6,000 tax bill money, apply that toward the repair. The city staff has estimated to repair at about $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then he can come to risk management and apply for any money spent over the $6,000 to get resolution to the issue. But I do think the city needs to be involved and oversee the project, not do the work, but oversee the project to be sure that only things are done to solve the water problem.
That's a very good point.
So that would be my resolution, and I think it would be acceptable to him. He did say in an email he sent to me today that if he had done the project himself, he wouldn't have a water leak. Well, here's his chance to do the project himself.
And yeah, we see what happens.
And the other thing is, if he does it himself and at least in 5 years, the city didn't do it. Because his people did it. So, I mean, that's the resolution I would recommend.
Now, are you proposing that as an amendment to this resolution, or are you saying
we can take it up later?
We can take it up. That you're proposing that as a solution,
yes,
after we pass, yes, this resolution?
Yes. Yes. I think we need time to think that over thoroughly.
It seems like an amendment might be the way to go.
If you pass the ordinance as it is, you will be tax billing him.
Okay.
So can we amend it to do what Gary says? And
well, I guess the only hesitation I have with that is if this is a dispute, there ought to be a settlement agreement outlining these things rather than, you know, just kind of doing it.
Okay.
So, I mean, you could delete the portion of the tax bill that goes with him, and then we could work out a settlement agreement, and if we can't, then a separate ordinance imposing a tax bill on
that
him.
Seems cleaner to me to do it that way.
Yeah. Before we do this, do our engineers have any comments?
I would just go back to what you stated earlier. These vaults right along this area, this one and this one, were voids under this concrete slab.
Right.
They looked exactly like the picture. There was no digging out of this.
Yeah, I think I was there.
They were voided. The rest of it looked exactly like that, so it had something to place the sidewalk on. And so we only fixed two voids, the one on each side of this one. So,
and I don't know. I guess there could be some, presumably your contractors were, or the city workers were happy when they did it, that they thought that they were doing it the right way.
But we just didn't want to dig them all out. I mean, that wasn't our purpose. Our purpose was to put back a sidewalk.
What is the amendment staff is recommending?
You would just delete whatever parcel is his. I'm not sure which one. Do you know which one?
It's.
I see. They're listed.
Parcel, well, the last digits are 133.0001.
Yeah, it would be.
It's 59.
Yeah, it would be the second parcel under Section 5.
So the amendment is to delete the tax bill for that. Pending resolution?
Pending resolution. We'll come back with a settlement agreement of some kind.
Can I have a motion and a second on the amendment?
All those second.
Any more discussion on the amendment? All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Any other questions by council before we go to public hearing? I'll open up the public hearing. Does anyone from the public want to speak?
Mayor, members of the council, I'm Tom Snyder. I'm a lawyer with offices at 11 North 7th Street here in Columbia, and I represent Arne Fagan. In light of that amendment and the city manager's proposed procedure, I don't think that I really need to address you this evening. I think it would be premature. But I didn't want to not attend the public hearing and perhaps hear later that we were foreclosed from having our issues heard. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snyder. Anyone else? I'm going to close the public hearing. Any discussion by council? Please call the roll.
Council Bill 32911 as amended. Mr. McDavid?
Yes.
Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Thornhill?
Yes.
Mr. Hespel?
Yes.
Mr. Dudley?
Yes.
Ms. Anthony?
Yes.
Ms. Hoppe?
Yes.
Please read item A.
Agenda item A is the voluntary annexation of property located on the north side of Bethel Drive, northeast of the intersection of Forum Boulevard and Old Plank Road.
Staff report.
Well, this item would voluntarily annex 3 acres of land on the north side of Bethel Drive. Applicant is requesting R1 zoning. With that, the expert is here for detailed questions.
Any questions by council?
Can you build a church on R1 zoning?
Yes, sir.
Church or school?
Church or school, if it's a church school.
Is there intention to build a church or build a house?
No, the letter from the church indicated that the church is desiring to sell this to an individual who would establish a daycare home. That would be a home that would operate a business in the home that's caring for children. And that is permitted in R1 district with a limitation on the number of children that can be cared for.
What's the limitation?
Be 10 all day and then an additional 3 children part-time.
Any other questions?
If I'm not mistaken, we're coming pretty close to creating a island here of unincorporated territory inside the city, although that may not be relevant or important here.
Yeah, it's it'll stand out because, of course, all the neighboring lots in the subdivision that it's within are unincorporated, but the city limits is just north, and it is adjacent to a street that would be extended from the city.
Would anyone from the public like to speak? Council discussion? This requires no action. Move to old business. 357-11.
Council Bill 357-11 is an ordinance authorizing an agreement with the Dudley Kent Roth Revocable Living Trust relating to the acquisition of easements for a sewer extension project on property located at 5310 I-70 Drive Southeast. Declaring the need to acquire easements for the sewer extension project, authorizing acquisition by negotiation or, if necessary, by condemnation, authorizing the city manager to obtain and execute all instruments necessary for acquisition of such land, and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. Second reading.
Staff, please.
This item requests that council approve the idea to settle a sewer easement issue. This is a long-running dispute between two property owners, but fundamentally there's a house that must have sewer access, and there is a line needed that does require an easement, and so the city would provide that easement and be reimbursed for all expenses. Any detailed questions? The expert is here.
Council? Would anyone from the public like to speak? Discussion by council? Please call the roll.
Council Bill 357-11, Mr. McDavid?
Yes.
Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Thornhill?
Yes.
Mr. Pespel?
Yes.
Mr. Dudley?
Yes.
Ms. Anthony?
Yes.
Ms. Hoppe?
Yes.
365-11.
Council Bill 365-11 is an ordinance amending Chapter 12 of the City Code as it relates to discrimination based on age and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. Second reading.
Well, staff, I think you're telling us that there is age discrimination when you go buy movie tickets.
Fred reminds us that sometimes we do want to discriminate on age, so we may want to rethink that that wording choice.
I do get a $2 discount at Hollywood theaters. I don't want to legislate that away. And of course, this has no impact on employment discrimination, which is federal and state. Council questions? Any from the public like to speak? Discussion? Please call the roll.
Council Bill 365-11, Mr. McDavid?
Yes.
Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Thornhill?
Yes.
Mr. Pespel?
Yes.
Mr. Dudley?
Yes.
Ms. Anthony?
Yes.
Ms. Hoppe?
Yes.
366-11.
Council Bill 366-11 is an ordinance amending Chapter 13 of the City Code as it relates to the closing of manufactured or mobile home land lease communities and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. Second reading.
Staff, there's an issue about legality of ordinance.
Yes, a decision made at the table some time ago. There are complications with that, and so our recommendation would be that we, much as in the last item, sort of roll back the clock on that particular decision.
Questions from council?
I have questions. Is there a way to fix the statute so we can keep the three-month rent rebatement but not have it apply retroactively to contracts that are already in existence?
The most obvious problem with it is it's impairing existing contracts that were in effect when the ordinance was passed. If that particular problem can be eliminated if it's just applied in the future.
If I make an amendment, I get, or an alternative to add the rent abatement provided for in subsection A shall not apply to existing contracts entered into before November 7th, 2011. That would get around the problem.
I think that would avoid the constitutional issue.
And I would like to make such amendment when it's appropriate, either now or at the end of the public hearing.
And I have a question. It seems to me that federal, state, and local governments are all the time passing laws that would affect contracts. For example, banking law that changed all the credit card rules and so forth. Obviously, people had contracts. So what is different about this, that this is unconstitutional, whereas other laws that change existing contracts aren't?
The general rule is that when you enter into a contract, you're still subject to the police power of the state. I think what distinguishes the ordinance that abated rent was that basically it was aimed directly at a relationship between the landlord and the tenant, telling the tenant he no longer had to pay rent to the landlord. I think it might have been different if you had a situation where impose a mandate on the owner of a trailer court, for example, saying you have to provide a shelter in the event of tornadoes or bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be imposing a financial burden on him, but it wouldn't be the direct impairment that this ordinance was doing.
I see.
Any other questions before I allow people from the public to speak? To do the amendment after the public hearing? I mean, we know what you intend to do anyway. Would anyone in the public like to speak?
Mayor, I'll be speaking on behalf of Grow Grassroots Organizing, so do I get 3 minutes, 5 minutes, or just speak faster, or?
Just go ahead and, you're generally fairly articulate and to the point, so
okay.
I have no issue with as much time as you need.
All right, I appreciate that. My name is Mary Hussman, live at 5306 Rice Road, Columbia, Missouri, and I am speaking on behalf of Grow Grassroots Organizing. Increasingly in our country and in our city, the lack of affordable housing is a problem. Mobile home parks provide affordable housing, but this benefit for thousands of our Columbia residents comes with an uncertain living arrangement. A family invests in a home, pays month to month to have that home on someone else's property. As long as the property is not allowed to go into blight, this living arrangement is beneficial for our families as well as being profitable for the owner. However, if a park closes and eviction notices hit the doors of these homes, every person in the park is instantly mentally, emotionally, and physically traumatized. At that point, families vary in their concerns, but the one consistent message from every single family is the need for more time and somehow to get more money so they can move. So what you decide tonight will have consequences. Grow Grassroots Organizing has been involved in 10 mobile home park closing situations. This started with Walnut Woods when in January of 2000, right after Christmas, residents were told they had 2 months to leave. I recall an elderly woman who I will call Betty. Betty was in poor health but had friends in the park and was maintaining well, even though her only income was Social Security. She was upset about the eviction and spent a lot of time crying and worrying about what she would do. Reverend Larry Rice, neighbors in the park, Grow, and her daughter helped move her and her home to the bottom of the hill to Cedar Oaks Mobile Home Park. Less than 3 years later, she and several other families who had moved from Walnut Woods were again evicted and given 2 months to get out. Betty told me that just isn't enough time and I'm still in debt from the last move. I cannot go through this again. She didn't. Just a few weeks later, she was found dead in her mobile home. It was not a suicide, but this stressful situation surely contributed to her emotional trauma and physical breakdown. Because of Walnut Woods and Cedar Oak closings, a couple of elected officials, specifically Representative Vicki Rebalk-Wilson and former Councilman John Kaufman, heard these voices that are often unheard, and they acted. And now with this ordinance proposed by Councilwoman Barbara Hoppe that was passed on November 7th, and with the assistance of the majority of the council, you have recognized the need and acted to help. When park residents and others involved saw or heard that you had passed this ordinance to give more time, 180 days, and money, resources of 3 months with the last, with lot rent abatement, I saw in their faces an expression of astonishment mixed with gratitude. Just to think, City Hall cares about families caught in future evictions. This ordinance was the right and just thing to do, and it brought a glimmer of hope and connection to people who do not normally have that feeling about City Hall. Thank you for passing it. I believe this ordinance will be accepted by park owners as a normal way of closing a park and according to procedure, and it will, in a very concrete way, diminish the headache, heartache, and hardship that a park closing brings to mobile home park residents who are often minimum wage workers, disabled, and elderly families of low income. The ordinance is not perfect in that it could offer more, but it does provide some much needed assistance to families and is affirming that we are a city which cares about all of its residents, rich, middle class, and poor. Our request is that you support the ordinance for all month-to-month contracts in the mobile home parks so that these families would receive the necessary rent abatement assistance during the last 3 months of the 6-month eviction period. If you're unable or you're uncertain about supporting this ordinance tonight, we would request that prior to taking almost unprecedented action of voting to potentially cross out a major element of this ordinance that was just so recently passed, without taking the time to consider the controversy and the consequences in doing so, we would rather propose that you table this for at least another month. Thank you for listening. I'm going to give you a picture of Betty here.
Thank you, Ms. Hussman.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else?
My name is Edward Berg. I live in Columbia, Missouri. I guess I am speaking in favor of Ms. Hoppe's motion to amend the ordinance. I was here on November 7th, I think, when it's passed. I believe the agents of both Regency and Aspen were here at that time. They had no objection to it. They are the only trailer park that is going to be affected by this law, and they've already agreed to that. So that there is no issue with them. I don't know of any other, and maybe you do, of any other trailer cart in the Columbia area which is closing. So there should be no issue here. And the amendment, which is proposed, addresses the rule of law that basically you can't alter an existing contract. Further, it is my understanding in dealing with many people who live in trailer parks that, and I call it trailer parks, it's now called mobile home, it's called other things, but in dealing with them, it's my understanding that what you run into are contracts for rent that are month to month. If it's month to month, that means there's a new contract every month. So if that is what is taking place in the Columbia, which I believe it is, what that means is this law would actually not need to be amended, and that it would not affect any contract that already exists because they would be coming into existence after the law was passed. But I think it's a good idea to pass the amendment as proposed as a safety. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Berg. Anyone else?
Mayor, Council, my name is Paul Brown. I reside at Regency. I've been asked here tonight by Grove to testify on the plight that's going on right now because of the closure of Regency Trailer Park. Time restraint that I have is that with the last 3 months of all this dealing with everything that with you guys, with the media, and the closure of the park, and who's buying it, and who's not, rezoning, this, that, and the other. I've had very little time. I'm disabled. My mother's disabled. Got high blood pressure, so I try to keep this away from her as much as I possibly can, not let her deal with it. Bear with me, I'm a little pain tonight. Having to deal with this, too, after everything was decided, after the zoning, I had a really nice Thanksgiving. My Christmas was even worse. A lot of stress. And a lot of not knowing what's coming up. My mom needs special needs. I can't seem to find any places like that. Now, we own our place, but we're paying, or we own a, somebody owns a note on it. And we owe about $5,000 to it right now. So we're 25 years old, so we can't move it. And if we do, it's going to damage it, which is going to cost me more money. I put about $4,000 in it this last summer. Investment that's gone belly up, I guess. And I've been only asking to be made whole. You know, I can't find a place that's close by here in Columbia. I've checked all the way around Columbia. I lay in my bed, and luckily I've got a laptop that I gave my son years ago that I can use to, you know, look up, you know, places that are suitable for us to live. And I found two of them. They're down around Boonville area. But still, with the holidays and everything, I have not been able to make contact with them because everybody seems to take off after Thanksgiving. Any professionals, anybody like real estate. I've been trying to contact lawyers because I've had three contracts given to me by this Texas corporation, wanting me to sign three different contracts. I don't want to sign my rights away, so I've been trying to get lawyers in this town to look at it for me and help me out and decide what I need to do. Nothing. I tried again two more today. Nothing. You know, kind of put us all in one area where we're all the same in every part. We're not. Some of us rent. Some of us are just tenants. Some of them are so far behind their lot rent, you know. We've never been behind our lot rent. We've been good tenants. I get, you know, pay our trade payments on time. And now my credit's going to be screwed up or we can't buy. I've had a couple of loans done, and they won't approve my loans. Because I know I'm going to have to walk away from this one, too.
I'll respectfully ask you to wrap, Mr. Round, please.
Like I said, I need help. And all I'm asking for the city, you know, is to, in any future closings of parks, to give these people some time and consideration. You know, I'm just going to do what I can do to get the hell out of there and hope for the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Anyone else? Council discussion.
I'd like to first offer the amendment to the ordinance. The rent abatement provided for in subsection A shall not apply to rental contracts entered into before November 7th, 2011.
I'll second it.
And that would also include not striking the sentence, rent shall be abated for the last 3 months of the 180-day notice period.
Right, right. Correct. Thank you.
Second. Motion and second. I have a couple of legal questions. These are essentially month-to-month contracts. Am I right? I'm not really sure how.
I don't know, as a matter of fact. I mean, there are a number of different mobile home courts, and they probably have different arrangements. I don't know if.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out how this will work. If you own a trailer court and I'm on a month-to-month lease contract with you, can you cancel my lease? Can you tell me the next month I'm gone?
If it's month-to-month, you can pretty much
and
do that.
Really, you don't have to announce to me that you're closing the park. You can just say, I'm not renewing your contract.
Well, if it's because you're closing the park, then the ordinance would apply.
But you would not need to tell me that.
Not up front.
I mean, right. The next question I have is, you could also raise my rate. You could say to me, rather than $300 a month, next month it goes to $400 a month. You know, and the reason I point that out, and there's a little relevance here, it may not seem this way, but, you know, when I was in practice, paying $40,000 a year malpractice, the company wanted to quit insuring obstetricians, but they legally couldn't drop us. So I got a $120,000 bill. So that was their way of dropping us. I'm very sympathetic to our citizens who are caught in this bind. I will support this legislation. I am also very concerned that we are not going to solve the problem, that there are ways that the owners can empty out their park without announcing they're going to close it. I don't know there's any way we can stop that. Am I right about that?
Ask a realtor.
I mean, we have two attorneys on the council.
I think you're right about that.
I think if it was shown that they were evading the ordinance and were, in fact, closing the park, you know, those would be issues.
I'm curious how this is going to – how is this enforced? You may remember the percentage. There was a fairly high percentage of folks who were behind considerably in the rent to begin with.
When I was out there and visited, the manager told me out of 73 occupied units, 41 were in arrears on their lot rent.
So So my, I was thinking it was half, but so my question then is, if you're already behind on your rent, are you then given, you don't have to pay rent also?
Well, I think you can, and I would be willing to add a provision that the rent abatement would not apply to anyone who was not current in their rent up to that point, and that would solve that problem. I mean, if that's necessary, I'll be happy to make that amendment also.
The difficulty I have with the abatement is, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, the mobile home park owner has expenses. They range anywhere from what I can determine from folks I've talked to who own mobile home parks in Columbia, $18,000 a month to $25,000 a month. I don't think it's fair for us to sit here and say, we're going to pass an ordinance that you don't get any income, but you have to pay the expense. That's not fair on our part.
Well, yeah. The reality of it is that the reality of it is they're going to raise the rates beforehand.
If they don't announce
they're going to recover their expenses.
If they don't announce closing, they will, because in the ordinance it says.
And that's why
they can't raise rates.
I'm going to be supportive of the legislation. I feel it will have probably no impact on residents.
I'm concerned about the unintended consequences of this legislation, because what you're saying is exactly what will happen.
Right.
The landowner will non-renew leases, and instead of having 180 days to move, now they have 90.
30.
Well, if
by law.
They're already negotiating for rezoning and closing, then that can be a problem. They are acting in contradiction of the ordinance, so I think that those are all issues. I mean, there's always ways. There's always ways to get around ordinances and ways to prove that. But
this opens up a whole new set of problems to me. This legislation that mobile homeowners will figure out. I mean, I can figure it out.
That's well, on the other hand, we're trying to get assistance to people who are in a bind that no other renters are in, because they are buying or owning the mobile home park, but they don't own the land. The mobile home park owners, if they're closing the park, are usually rezoning and selling it and making a substantial profit. So they're really not the ones that are suffering. It's the rental people, the tenants. And I do want to mention that I did some research about what other states do in terms of closing and their closing ordinances. And what I found is this is extremely small in terms of what other states do. What I've read is they require that if you're closing a mobile park, the owners have to pay for the first and last month's rent for the new for the tenants who are moving. They have to pay for the rent differential for any increase in rent that they will have to pay for the next year, as well as pay for actual moving costs. So there's models out there throughout the country that are much more exacting on the owner. So this is a very modest ordinance, I think. And so I'm not going there. I'm saying this is conservative.
We have an amendment which at least makes the ordinance legal. Then let's vote on the amendment, then let's debate on whether or not it's a useful ordinance to have on the books. I mean, any further discussion about the amendment to make it proactive from what date?
I just have one question. If we didn't amend it and left it as it originally was, would it then throw it to the courts? I mean, who's going to, you know, in other words, we go and do the tougher thing and let the mobile homeowners have their luck with the courts, or is that really a bad idea?
You could leave it up to the courts, and I think it would be cleaner if you went ahead and passed this amendment. If you didn't, in defense of the ordinance, you could always argue that it would apply prospectively, even if it didn't apply to existing leases at the time that the ordinance was passed.
And we'll be paying money to litigate it.
Sure. I mean, you pay money one way or the other, but I mean, that's an issue whether anyone would, whether a mobile home owner would choose to litigate it or just live with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well.
So let's vote on the amendment. Okay. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Aye.
How many nays? Two. Okay. Now we'll go to the issue at hand. I'll reopen this for discussion. Any other comments?
I'm going to vote in support of it because I know there may be unintended consequences, but I think that we have sent a strong message that we do support people in this situation. I think that we're going to have to see how it goes, it unfolds going forward. It's not like we're not going to have an opportunity. We heard plenty of what went on before we made a rezoning, allowed a rezoning of the Regency Mobile Home Park. It's not like we're not going to know what's going on if we're faced with this decision again. And I think this sends a strong message as to what our intent is as a council. And it's the right intent as far as I'm concerned. And I think we should support this.
This is a very difficult arrangement that our citizens find themselves in. They own a deteriorating asset. It may be an aging mobile home that really can't be moved. They own it. They don't own the land it's on. And they really have very little protection. I mean, it's a tough situation. And I came into this thinking, well, I'm not going to support this, but I decided to support it because of the special situation these people find themselves in. I also will support this, fully understanding that the owners of these mobile home parks will get around this ordinance, the intent of the ordinance. I mean, we have an intent, which I think all of us altruistically support. I think the practice is that Mr. Beckman will raise my rent and make it virtually impossible for me to stay, just like I couldn't stay with my malpractice company. The same thing will happen. We're not making that illegal. We're sending a message and supporting a part of our population that is low income and has needs and is frankly in a difficult situation. Other comments?
This ordinance says in the 180-day notice the property owner will not raise rent, not increase the rent, except for rent increase based solely on increase in property tax for any tenant manufactured mobile home.
That's that part of the ordinance was already there.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand that, but what he just said was wrong. But the mayor just said was wrong. You can't raise the rent.
Well, I think the mayor was saying that he could raise the rent now, not that he would wait until it's
going to
close.
And not say
you're closing. Well, Mr. Beckman and his trailer court is not going to tell me he's closing the park. He's just going to raise my rent.
Okay.
And I will have no recourse.
Well, I have to say, disagree in terms of the individual owner at the point. That point might not. But we as a city council, if usually what happens is the reason they're trying to clear that mobile home park is so that they can come in and ask us for a rezoning. Our ultimate right here or control is not to grant that rezoning. I mean, so we do have some power.
That's the leverage we have. Absolutely.
That is the leverage we have. We need to use it.
Any other comments?
I think we're dangerously close to legislating private property rights, and that concerns me. I don't know how to eloquently put it, but I think we're close to stepping beyond our purview in doing that. I can't support it for that.
So this motion, let's make this motion clear. This is a motion, this resolution deletes the rent abatement.
No, it would leave the rent abatement in, but would make it only prospective after November, whatever the date was, 7th.
And we've already voted on that. We've accepted that's part of the...
Right, but you're, now you're going to vote on that ordinance.
It's a...
So basically...
Ordinance is in place. This was an ordinance to remove the rent abatement.
Well, I made an amendment to...
And we've already passed your amendment.
Right, so that's what we're voting on.
No, this is...
Well, what, after the amendment, the situation is you have an ordinance on the books now that abates the rent, and what the council bill as amended would do would be to leave that but make it prospective after November the 7th.
So if we vote yes, we are voting for Councilwoman Hoppe's amendment. If we vote no, there is no...
Then you're leaving it as
no
it
change.
Is.
Then, no.
Then you're leaving it as it is, which means you have the abatement.
We have... No, we voted for an amendment. We've already voted for the amendment. The amendment is that...
Well, no, you amended the bill, as I understand it, but you haven't amended the ordinance yet.
Okay. What does a vote yes mean?
Vote yes means that the abatement stays, but it's only as to arrangements made after November the 7th of last year.
What does a vote no mean?
Vote no means that the abatement stays on the books as it was passed in November and applies to existing agreements.
So effectively, if I don't support, a rent abatement, I can't avoid voting for it. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Well, if I could be maybe helpful, this particular bill, all it does at this point is add a date, if I understand. It doesn't restrict council from further deliberation or other bills coming forward. But
this is a bill that would eliminate the requirement that rent be abated.
You amended it.
Well, we
amended it.
We've amended it.
So if the amendment...
But this is a bill that gets rid of the rent abatement.
Oh, the amendment you just passed amended that.
Let me kind of start from the beginning. Okay. In November, you passed a bill that included a rent abatement of 180 days. Okay. Then the council bill before you that was introduced last meeting, it came here, what that bill originally would have done is to eliminate that 180-day rent abatement. Okay, that bill has since been amended by motion of Mrs. Hoppe that you voted on, and that rent abatement provision, the provision that would have deleted the rent abatement, was taken out, so that would stay. The bill would no longer eliminate that, and a provision was added saying that that abatement provision would be effective only after November the 7th, 2011.
So
if my amendment was defeated, then they could
vote on the original
vote on the deleting the, abatement.
Vote.
Yeah, that's if it's passed, then you can't. So that's sort of procedural.
I disagree. This bill started out as a bill to delete 3 months of rent abatement.
Correct.
She amended the bill to that the abatement would start with new contracts. So this is a bill that would eliminate a requirement. This eliminates rent abatement completely.
No, because I asked if she included leaving the rent abatement provision in.
Yeah, right, and I...
Well, then I didn't understand it that way. No, I'll accept fault for that. I don't intend to support any form of rent abatement, and that was my intention with the amendment. So where do we go from here?
So we vote on my amendment. If it's defeated, can they come back with the original... Or they'd have to do that next they have to come back with.
You defeat this and then just amend it again, propose another amendment?
Yeah.
Or right now you could propose to amend the amended bill.
And remove the abatement.
Okay.
In other words, you're voting to put it back the way it was originally. Is that what it
was? No, I want to remove altogether an abatement of rent.
You want to remove?
I don't think we should be telling a park owner you cannot collect what someone's agreed to pay you.
So you want to propose an amendment to this bill that deletes any rent abatement when a park closes?
And that's what the original bill would have done.
Right.
It was my understanding you were making this proactive, and you're just saying you don't think you should have any rent abatement whatsoever, even if it's proactive.
Correct.
So you want to eliminate from this bill
rent abatement.
Rent abatement, which begins through.
This was muddied water the last time I supported it. I didn't intend to support it then because of this exact thing.
You're proposing an amendment that eliminates all rent abatement that right now is written in there that begins on November 7th.
Yes.
Eliminates all rent abatement. She just removed the rent abatement from existing contracts to prospective contracts. You're proposing an amendment to eliminate all rent abatement. That's the way I see it.
So do I move then to amend that?
Right. And that amendment would take it back to the original bill that was.
Except the date would be left in, November the whatever.
No.
Yeah.
No, because this is taking it back to exactly what was introduced the last time and was before the council, before the amendment.
We already voted.
His intent is to get rid of all rent abatement.
Which is what the original bill would have done.
Tonight's bill.
No.
Yeah. But we already voted as a council to approve the amendment.
I know, and basically he's saying to reconsider that vote.
Can he do that parliamentarily?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, okay. If four people vote,
we have a parliamentary crisis here. I know what you want.
Vote to reconsider.
You are proposing an amendment to eliminate rent abatement. This would eliminate all rent abatement. If it's accepted, if your amendment passes, you essentially will have a bill which eliminates rent abatement. If your amendment fails, we will fall back on Councilwoman Hoppe's amendment.
I move to reconsider the vote.
We have an amendment and a second, which is a reconsideration.
Okay.
So let me just be clear, a no means we're sticking with Ms. Hoppe's amendment?
Yes.
Okay.
A yes means you are amending the bill to get rid of all rent abatement. Okay. Please call the roll.
No, wait. We have to vote on that amendment.
Right. On the amendment.
The voice vote.
Okay. That's a voice vote. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Raise your hand. One, two, three. All in favor, all opposed, say no.
No.
No. Fails. So we right now have... Mrs. Hoppe's bill to vote on. A yes would accept Mrs. Hoppe's bill. All in favor, that's roll, call roll.
Council Bill 366-11 as amended, Mr. McDavid?
Yes.
Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Thornhill?
Yes.
Mr. Hespel?
No.
Dudley?
Can I abstain?
No.
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 Anthony?
Yes.
Hoppe?
Yes.
And a parliamentary crisis is averted. Consent agenda. Will the clerk read the bills?
Bill Items on the consent agenda include bills 356-11, 358-11, 359-11, 360-11, 361-11, 362-11, 363-11, 364-11, 367-11, 368-11, and resolutions 112, 212, and 312.
Please call the roll.
Bills 356-11, 358-11, 359-11, 360-11, 361-11, 362-11, 363-11, 364-11, 367-11, 368-11, and resolutions 112, 212, and 312. Mr. McDavid.
Yes.
Mr. Schmidt.
Yes.
Mr. Thornhill.
Yes.
Mr. Kespel.
Yes.
Mr. Dudley.
Yes.
Ms. Anthony.
Yes.
Ms. Hoppe.
Yes.
Introduction, first reading. Please read the policy, resolution, and bills.
All bills are introduced by the mayor unless otherwise indicated. Policy resolution 412 and bills 112, 212, 312, 412, 512, 612, 712, 812, 912, 1012, 1112, 1212, and 1312, first reading.
We'll go to report 1-12, which is a report on, I guess, really kind of a variance on allowing a shelter in an area not designated for that.
That's right. This item really seeks to get council consensus on the idea of allowing a building at 804 North Old Highway 63 to be used as a temporary overnight shelter in January and February, basically overnight, but not during the day. So this is something that's been done for at least 1 year, maybe two, three, thank you, and at a church, and then that has grown to the point where really that they can't house this at this point, and so this location was found and seems to suit the purpose, and recommend it for your consideration.
I'm pleased to support this. The Interfaith Council has done a great job in putting together a shelter. This was housed at the Missouri United Methodist Church in the last couple of years and just basically outgrew them. And so the churches have gotten together and are going to support this at the Old Total Environments building. I'm going to move to approve the use of 804 North Old Highway 63 as an overnight shelter for the winter months of January and February and or till the end of the winter season if needed, 2012, provided occupancy is limited as required by city life safety codes and the use is operated from evening to morning only. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion by council?
This is in my ward, and I was quite concerned when I saw the original proposal was 35 to 40 people there because that building's not large enough to support that many. But staff had a meeting and reduced it to 10. I canvassed the neighborhood out there over the weekend and explained to people exactly what's going on. It would be a security guard there at night and people there that were monitoring what was going on. So I think most people are in favor of it, around it.
I would just like to add that there is a great need, and this helps to meet that need. So it's good cause, and it's needed.
Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. I'll report 2-12, which is a study of the traffic on East Walnut and Old 63.
So this really becomes an informational report from the staff perspective. We've taken a look really just don't recommend at this time any further changes at that location.
I was really surprised to read this report. I know it's from an old request, but actually there has just been constructed excellent pedestrian crossing right at this location, complete with a solar crosswalk sign, and that was installed with the sidewalk on Walnut, and it looks like it's functioning really, really well. So it turns out, even the reports behind what's actually done, we do have an improvement there, and it seems to be helping the pedestrians and the traffic.
And slowed traffic
and
down.
And slowing traffic down, yeah.
The solution was the turn lane, which we did back in 09, and so as you can see from, and we wanted to clean this up to clear out the report. So.
Right.
Good work. Report 3-12, which staff's opinion on the use of private contractors for snow removal.
Well, so far we're doing great. we don't need any help. All joking aside, this report's really informational. It's sort of staff thinking to this point. Fundamentally, I think the wrong one. Excuse me. There we are. Yeah, at this point, it's just provided as information, unless council feels strongly about something.
Can I just ask a quick question on this about the neighborhood associations voluntarily having no parking will receive priority snow removal? How are they going to know that?
Well, go ahead. Des Moines uses it, and what do? They sign up, and so when we declare it through either an email through Nixle or a web mail or even on TV or radio to where we're declaring this, and they need to park their cars off the street so we can get in there and get in and get out. And so it gives them priority as long as they get their cars off the street. They have to sign up to do it.
But that's my question. We're now in January. We could have a snow, not this week because it's too warm, but we could have a snow very soon, and I just want to make sure the neighborhood associations have had time to understand this and can sign up.
We would not do this right now. This would be a next winter thing. We're trying to get ready for next winter already. Well,
there are a number of things we've changed, of course, about our system. I'm pretty confident our response will be pretty well received once there's a test of it. And one of the reasons I say that is, as you'll remember from our pre-council meeting some time ago, we're in an odd position of having more trucks than we have people to drive them. And so John has had a very creative idea to cast the net internally to other departments for anyone willing to get the CDL license required, and he would pay for that, and see who would be willing, what directors could spare their folks to do snow plowing. And at this point, with five vehicles, I think we can fill three of them. So we have increased by 30%. How many are on the road now? 15 on the road?
We have basically 18 on the road. We have 18 trucks, but so we need another 6 people. We have another 6 people.
So you've got how many people from other?
Well, my own staff and other departments. We got an additional.
How many
6
additional people did you get?
6.
6? Okay.
And others are considering they have to get tested and everything because it's safety sensitive, so you have to be tested and everything.
Okay. And how many more do you need?
As many as I can get.
Any volunteers from the council?
So we literally have more trucks moving after a snow event than we've had before. That's the only physical way to push more snow, right? So this is another creative approach, which is contained here, which is have people, hire someone to do it. There is a lot of liability in this, Quite honestly, if you've ever been in one of those trucks, mailboxes do get taken out. It's easy to slide into parked cars, et cetera. So we have folks that are, very practiced at it compared to the average driver. We'd recommend, basically, let's go with this route that we've already teed up. And then for the private snow, let's push that off a bit is what our thinking is.
And in terms of, can I just also ask another question that's a little unrelated to this? I mean, it's the snow removal on the sidewalks. Are we changing our policy on that? Okay.
That's been discussed, but I don't think we've got any.
Okay.
I don't have enough to do the streets, much less the sidewalks. So.
Okay. I think there was a recommendation. Yeah, I've been receiving email about the sidewalks and that there's a recommendation to require it sort of central city, south of 70, north of Stadium, east of Stadium also, and west of Old 63, and I've been getting emails, and I thought a commission made some recommendations, so I was wondering when that was coming before council, or if it was.
It's not part of Public Works. It may be in the bike ped, which is part of community development, but it's Public Works has not been involved in that.
Well, Mike Martin wrote about it is where this all came from, and it's actually the it's just the city rule now, is that if you have a sidewalk, you're supposed to shovel it. That's apparently what was discussed. And the Bike Ped Commission has always recommended, at least when I was on it, this comes up all the time, they had recommended education as the, you know, because most people don't know they're supposed to shovel their sidewalk.
That's coming up as a report, right?
I don't know, because I've been receiving a lot
of paper.
Emails.
I mean, I presume there's going to be legislation.
Given this conversation, I think we should come back with a report about what the conversation is or isn't and
right.
What the rules are now.
Yeah. Bicycle and Pedestrian Commission.
Yeah.
Advisory Commission. Well, they're making a recommendation to us.
I don't know whether it's accurate, but I'm assuming Mike knows what he's talking about. It says city planner Rachel Bacon said the recommendation will probably go to the council at its January 17th meeting.
Right. So we'll wait. We'll wait for that recommendation.
That's fine. I just was puzzled by all the emails.
Act on that. Let's move to report 4-12. I asked city got asked for and had an architectural rendition of a airline terminal, airport terminal additions about a year ago, I think, and presented it to the airport commission. Now, I just wanted this made as part of the record. And the issue is, you know, we've got 350,000 passengers from Boone and Cole County driving to St. Louis and Kansas City. And if it's our intention to capture a larger market, we're going to have to, you know, enlarge the terminal. I mean, it's enough for a 50-passenger jet. It's not enough for 250-passenger jets. And so this was just an attempt to publicize options that were out there. The Airport Advisory Commission looked at this in January and January, February of last year, and their recommendation was to go south. This, of course, is something that will come up in the future. And this was only a rendition, and the numbers that they use all run up to $27 million. If, of course, we decide to build a terminal, we will build a terminal commensurate with the amount of money we have, which is yet to be determined. Staff, comments?
Only a couple of underscores there. I see our airport board chair is here. If there are detailed questions about the work, the concept report, he is well positioned to answer those. Or the conversation that happened at the board. I believe the board expressed a preference for the south scenario, which is has the merit of being cheaper than the other one. I think it's 17 million, 18 million.
And less disruptive.
And less disruptive, exactly. Operations can continue more easily with that approach. So, and I'll just underscore your other point. Currently, there's no funding to build that terminal, and to do more with the airport than we are today, we simply have to have a terminal that can house more than 50 people.
Any questions from council? We'll move to report 5-12. Transfer funds. Any questions from council? Seeing none, we'll open to public comments. I'll yield 3 minutes to anyone from the public who wants to speak. Good evening, Kathleen.
I would just like to which you all have noticed.
Thank you, Kathleen.
You too.
Thank you, Kathleen. Anyone else? Council.
I'll start at this end, I guess. I just wasn't intending to speak tonight, but I would like, I'm not sure where it's going to be on the agenda, but I really am looking for some sort of comprehensive report on the violations at Regency and how, you know, we weren't able or didn't enforce them, or what the history is there, so that we can learn, use that as a tool going forward in case we might need to, you know, do an overhaul of our tools for enforcements of our ordinances. But specifically, I do like Ms. Hussman's idea, and I would like to know if we can mandate a surprise annual inspection of mobile home parks, and whether that's, we can do it, and B, you know, how can we do that? I'm not sure if there's where that would occur in the ordinance. So I would like a report back on that.
Just a word of caution on surprises. Sometimes you don't have management in place, and you don't have, okay, you know, so maybe short notice rather than just a surprise.
I'm amenable to that, short notice, yeah, or how we can do that or accomplish that.
Big inspection to not be, yeah, able to complete when you send, right, everybody out.
And then also the idea of posting the sign of the closure, I think, at the entrances is minimal, you know, really could go a long way to, you know, informing people. So I'd like to know if we can go ahead with that in an amendment to our ordinances. So I'd like a report back on those two issues.
If I could add one more aspect to that on the posting of signs. Also, certain times of the year, it's dark after 5 o'clock, and so people won't see those signs. So I think it's important that written notice be given to any new residents once it's clear that the park will be closing, in case they can't see the signs. If that's agreeable to Ms. Anthony.
Fine. That's fine.
Other comments?
I have a couple of things. I have a resident who lives out near the new roundabout at Clark Lane and Ballinger, who is concerned about lighting of that roundabout. There's no lights out there at all, and at night, if a bicyclist goes through there, they can't see them at all. I talked with John Glasscock about this afternoon. John wanted me to bring it up, and his comment was that they're not finished out there, that will be lit. The last thing that happens on a new road is the lighting goes up, so the lights will be installed out there. The other thing is, I went out and visited a resident on Mexico Gravel Road on the new part that was just done last year. He lives on the curve just to the east of the creek, and when cars come down the hill from the east, they hit that curve, and if it's slick at all, they slide off, and his mailbox has been knocked down 7 times since the road was put in. So, again, I visited with John. He's thinking about putting up some kind of billiards along there that will notify people to slow down at that curve, because it is dangerous right there. The resident wanted curbing put up, but that would just throw the car back in the ongoing traffic, which is not a good idea. So we're going to do something along the side of the road. Just want to get that in the record.
Barbara?
I have two things. Resident was asking whether the city uses salt when ice is predicted or imminent as a proactive measure, and I assume so, but I'd like information on that. And I guess they were probably thinking about that first snow and ice,
sure,
storm that we all drove in.
Yeah, that first one caught even the weather folks by surprise. So we, you know, that was really a function more of almost dew forming and then freezing, which, you know, happens occasionally, but it's very hard to predict that. Wasn't predicted.
But the policy is if ice is predicted, then that you'd proactively
I think that's
treat
correct.
Treat the streets to prevent the ice, or if you
right.
could
pre-treat.
Find out for sure.
We'll find out and bring it back as a report.
And then the second thing I have is I've had several complaints from residents about a huge amount of garbage that gets piled up on garbage day at Rustic Road and WW. And I inquired a little bit, and I understand the garbage truck doesn't go down Rustic Road all the way because of the bridge there that is sort of falling apart, and it visually looks really bad. So I'd like a report on, one, the status of the bridge and why the garbage trucks verify they can't go down there, and they're asking the residents to take their garbage on the north side of the bridge, and if it really isn't passable, and for a garbage truck, I'm a little concerned about the buses going over that also, and maybe we need to get a funding source to improve that. So a report on that would be great.
I don't. I'll just throw in a follow-up on Gary's comment, is that bicyclists should wear lights at night. That's the law.
Meeting's adjourned.
Well, you guys had a motion that you needed to make. Session.